Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So Paul, last week we concluded in verse 8 by Paul saying, "And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." And we talked about that phrase, "born out of due time," means someone who has been miscarried or aborted. And that was the idea there. And Paul was simply saying that he was unworthy. I quoted John Gill and talked about how the, I guess it wasn't last week, was it? Because that was homecoming. It was 2 weeks ago. Anyway, everything runs together when you get my age, 42. But at any rate, John Gill had brought out that that they would use that term, the phrase that's translated "born out of due time," they would use that term to apply to Roman senators who had gotten in the Senate through bribery or some other false way. And so they were considered unworthy persons to be in the Senate. And Paul is basically, by using that, he's saying, "I am unworthy to be an apostle." And he continues that theme in verse 9 where he says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet or fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." So Paul says, "I am not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church." And so Paul looked at Peter and he looked at all the other apostles, and Paul said, "These people are more worthy than I to be called an apostle." Now, Peter had denied the Lord, and Matthew had been a tax collector, and so these were considered people that had betrayed their nation, but Paul didn't consider any of them to have done anything nearly as bad before they became apostles as he had done, because he had actually had Christians arrested and churches broken up and Christians put to death. So he says, "I'm the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." In 1 Timothy 1:15, Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." So Paul considered himself the chief of sinners. And so, understanding what Paul thought of himself and his worth as far as being an apostle, you can understand why he magnified the grace of God in saving him and calling him to be an apostle so much. And so, we're going to see here an illustration that Paul uses in this passage, and then we'll look at several other illustrations of the truth that we're going to talk about this morning. And first of all, we see a service illustration. A service illustration. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 15. The Word of God says, Paul said, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." So he says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am." And what was Paul? He was an apostle. And it was by the grace of God that Paul became an apostle and was called to be an apostle. What was Paul? Paul was saved. He was born again. And it was by the grace of God that he was saved. And so Paul attributed, he didn't have anything of himself. Now Paul was very smart. He was very well educated. He had education. He had all these things. He was a great leader. He was a great teacher. But Paul, even though he had all these things, he had persecuted the church of God. So he considered himself completely unworthy. And so he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, the word grace means the unearned, undeserved favor of God. A lot of us, when we think of grace, we think of the grace that we give to people, or we think of something like a grace period that perhaps the bank would give to us. You know, if I have my loan to pay and it's due by a certain date, and if I can't pay it by that date, then they give me a 10-day grace period. And under that grace period, there's no penalty and no issues as long as I pay it within that grace period. But if you go over the grace period, then you may start to have issues. Well, that's a lot of times the way we think of God's grace, that God extends grace to us, but He gives us a certain amount of time, and then we can go beyond His grace and so on and so forth. But grace, God's grace, is not like that. Grace is the unearned, undeserved favor of God. It's not something that you can merit. It's not something you can get good enough for. It's not something that you can humble yourself enough to receive. It is something that God gives you that you do not deserve. Mercy and grace are related, but they are different. Mercy is when I don't get what I deserve. Grace is when I get what I don't deserve. And so we have both God's mercy and grace. And so Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By God's undeserved, unearned favor, I am what I am. Paul said, I didn't deserve it. I persecuted the church of God. I didn't deserve to be saved, but God saved me, and He called me to be an apostle. And that's the grace of God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And I hope that every one of us here could say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Now, Paul also says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying that it is possible to receive the grace of God in vain. And Paul says, I did not receive the grace of God in vain. The grace of God that was given to me, that was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. And he tells us why it was not in vain. He says, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Now, what Paul is saying here is God saved me and He called me, but that salvation and that calling was not in vain because I worked harder than anybody. I worked harder than everybody. I labored more abundantly than they all. Now, the Bible says, this was brought up in Sunday school this morning, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But verse 10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And so God does not just save you to sit, but He saves you to serve. And so we have a service illustration here. Paul says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. So Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God, but I worked harder than everybody. Now, Paul did not use what we like to use today, which is called false humility. Most of us today, if we accomplish something, I remember we were in another country traveling, and I was with Brother Austin Gardner and several other preachers and missionaries, and we went to a church, and it was hard to grow a church in that country. People usually failed that tried to do it. So we went to a church that had 1,000 people going to it. It was a big church. May not have been 1,000, it may have been like 500-600, but at any rate, it was a big church. And the pastor had been there for years, and the pastor came to meet us. And the pastor was also a politician, so he came with a security guard, and they had to do this whole thing, and he came in and sat down and met with us. And Brother Austin just wanted to know, well, what have you done here? Because so many people are not successful. What have you done here to be able to grow this church? And he said, oh, well, God's just blessed us. And he said, well, okay, well, have you done any special programs? Have you gone door to door? Have you had a youth ministry? What have you done? And he said, oh, God just blessed us. God just blessed us. Now, I don't know the man's heart. I don't know what he was doing, but I know that Brother Austin left angry. He was mad because it was like a waste of time. You go and talk to somebody, what have you done? What have you done? Well, God's just blessed us. Well, sure, God loves everybody. God blesses everybody. But what did you do? What specific things did you do? Well, we talked to the guy's assistant, and the assistant said, oh, he's a brilliant organizer, and he does this and this and this and this. But see, the guy didn't want to tell us. And here's the thing. A lot of us will use false humility when we talk to people. And somebody will say, oh, that's why years ago people would tell me, oh, that's a good message. And sometimes they're lying, sometimes they're telling the truth. But at any rate, they would say, that's a good message. And I would say, well, praise God, praise God. And they'd kind of look disappointed. And I'd wonder why. And then I finally figured out that when people say, oh, that was a good message, I got something out of it, that they want you to say, thank you. And if you say, well, praise God, glory to God, then they feel like that you're dismissing them. And so, since that time, I've started just saying, thank you, appreciate that. Now, the truth of the matter is, if I preach a good message, it's because of God. Amen. It's because of God. But also, I study, and I work to put together a message. And I spend a lot of time on studying and learning and rehearsing and putting this stuff, tossing this stuff around in my mind. And so by the grace of God, I am what I am, but I work too. You understand that? I work as well. And certainly Paul worked. He said, I labor more abundantly than they all. Well, what did Paul do more abundantly than other people? Well, he was certainly a great student, a great learner, a great scholar. But you also have to remember that Paul was a bivocational preacher. He worked a job too. He made tents. And so Paul's out working a job. Many of the other apostles were full-time in the ministry, but he was making tents. He was doing those kind of things. And so by doing both things, he was working harder than them. And so he said, I labored more abundantly than they all. That's a bold statement, by the way, to look at all the other apostles and say, I worked harder than all of them. But Paul wasn't using false humility. He was just telling the truth. That's the way he felt. That's what he believed. He said, I worked harder than all of them. But then he says something else interesting. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, but I worked harder than all of them. But it wasn't me. Is the grace of God working in me. That's a little hard to wrap your mind around. Paul said, God's made me everything I am, but I worked harder than anybody else, but it wasn't me, it was God working in me. Which one is it? Which one is it? Did Paul work harder than everybody else? Or was it God's grace working in him? Which one? The answer is that it was both. It was both. By the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. It's like a sandwich. And it's all put together. You have grace, you have His labor, and you have grace, and it all comes together. So we've seen a service illustration. Now I'm going to take this same idea both, this same theme, and I'm going to give you a salvation illustration. A salvation illustration. Revelation 22:17. The Word of God says, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Anybody can come. Come to Christ. If you're thirsty, come. If you want to be saved, come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We believe that, right?
Right.
Amen. Believe it. Look at John 6:44. In John 6:44, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." So in one place the Bible says, "Whosoever will may come." If you're thirsty, come. In another place, Jesus says, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." Which one is it? Is it whosoever will may come? Or is it no one can come unless the Father draws him? The answer is, it's both. It's both. We believe both. Now, if you're sitting here today and you've not been saved, I don't know everybody's heart in here. I don't know who's been saved and who hasn't. I assume most everybody here has been saved. But if you're sitting here today and you're not saved and you're thinking, "Well, I don't know if the Father is drawing me. I don't know if I'm one of those people." You don't need to worry about that. What you need to worry about is whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will may come. Because the Bible, you have to believe both. So if you believe that whosoever will may come, then you believe that if you'll come, Christ will save you. Jesus Christ said, "Whosoever will come to me, I will in no wise cast out." There's no way he'll throw you out if you'll come to him. Come, and he'll save you. Come to him today, and he'll save you. The invitation is open to everyone. Come. That's what the Bible says, and we must believe it. And then the good news is that when you come to Christ and you get saved, then you can know that you couldn't have come except the Father had drawn you. So it's both. It's both. I believe this is a Martin Luther illustration. I'm convinced I read this from Martin Luther, but I never have been able to find it since I read it. But I'm going to quote it as Martin Luther, and if it's not him, then you can forgive me. Luther said, when a person comes to me and they begin to talk about election and predestination and all of these things, and they say these things to me, I say, let's not talk about that first. First, let's talk about the fact that you're a sinner and you're lost. And then let's talk about the fact that Christ died for your sins on the cross. And then let's talk about the fact that if you'll believe in Him and you'll put your faith in Him, you will be saved and born again. And after you get saved, then let's talk about the fact that you're elect and predestinated. Let's do it like that. You have to take things in the proper order. But it's both. It's both. And now we've seen a salvation illustration, a service illustration. Now we'll look at a judgment illustration. A judgment illustration. I'm going to show you two verses which I have fun with, which a lot of people may get confused by. But at any rate, 2 Samuel 24:1. God wanted to judge Israel. And so for some reason, the Bible doesn't really explain it, but for some reason, he needed David to number the people so that David would get puffed up in pride and it would be an affront to God so that God could judge Israel. And the Bible doesn't explain it, just says this is what happened. 2 Samuel 24:1, "And again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he moved David against them to say, Go number Israel and Judah. And David did it, and God judged Israel." Now that's what 2 Samuel 24:1 says, but 1 Chronicles 21:1 says this, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." Which one is it? Did God move David to number the people, or did Satan provoke him to do it? The answer is both. Both. Now, you say, well, that doesn't make any sense. God doesn't tempt people to sin, so it couldn't have been God, but the Bible says God moved David to number the people. It doesn't really explain it. Then it says Satan had him number the people. How do I understand that? That doesn't make any sense. Well, there are some things that we really don't need to understand. Deuteronomy 29:29 says this, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." And so there's plenty of things that God has revealed to us that are plain in the Bible that we need to obey and we need to understand. And God has some secrets because He's God. And the secret things belong to God and the revealed things belong to us, and we need to obey the revealed things and leave the secret things to God. Most theology systems, whether they be Calvinism or Arminianism or whatever other kinds of systems there are attempts to synchronize and make everything fit together in the Bible and to try to explain the things that God does not explain. Years ago, I kind of went down a road theologically where I thought certain things, and I began to try. I worked out in my mind how it all fit together. You wouldn't believe that, would you? But I did. I was very smart. And in my mind, I worked out how the sovereignty of God and the choice, the will, and the choice of man all fit together. And I had it all worked out, and I knew how it all worked. And one day, I was challenged, actually, by Brother Austin Gardner about that. And he said, well, if you're right, then God must love white people and Europeans a lot more than He loves black people, because there have been a lot more white Europeans saved over the centuries than there were black people in Africa. And I began to think about that and think, oh, that doesn't really harmonize with Scripture, does it? And then I suddenly read a verse in the Bible that brought it together, and basically what the Bible said and what hit me was, it said, "For my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, saith the Lord, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." And then I suddenly realized that whatever I had figured out in my finite mind to try and explain what the Bible did not clearly say was wrong. Had to be wrong, because God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways." Spurgeon said this, and I think this is a great quote. Spurgeon said, "I was reading just now the exposition of a very able doctor who explains the text so as to explain it away. He applies grammatical gunpowder to it and explodes it by way of expounding it. My love of consistency with my own doctrinal views is not great enough to allow me to knowingly to alter a single text of Scripture. I have great respect for orthodoxy," Spurgeon said, "but my reverence for inspiration is far greater. I would sooner 100 times over appear to be inconsistent with myself than to be inconsistent with the Word of God." And so, when we come to the Bible, then we believe whatever it says. If it says, "Whosoever will may come," we don't try and explain that away. We believe it. It's true. Amen. If it says that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we might be holy and without blame before Him in love, we don't try and explain it away. We believe it because it's true. We believe whatever the Bible says. Because there are some things, now there are truths that can be harmonized and can be understood. Understand that. But there are some truths that God's got secrets. He knows how it all works out, and we just need to trust Him and act on the things and believe the things and do the things that are clear and that are understood. Now, Paul concludes his statement. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which is in me. And then in verse 11, he says this, therefore, whether it were I or they, whether it was me that led you to Christ, or whether it was one of the other apostles, whether it was Apollos, because Apollos had worked in that church as well, whether it's I or they, so we preach and so we believe. So what was the important thing to Paul? It was that we preach the gospel. That was what was important. It wasn't important that he had done it or that Apollos had done it or that anybody else had done it. It was the fact that they preached the gospel. That was important, and that they believed it. That was important. And that's what matters, that we preach and that we believe. And so, both. In conclusion, not everything in Scripture needs to be figured out. Just believe every word. Believe every word. If we would spend our time, James says, don't be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. And so if we would just work on believing and doing what the Bible says, we'd have enough to worry about. Number two, God has saved you and made you what you are, but you have to make the decision to work hard for Christ. All right? We can't just say, well, because God is in control and God is sovereign, which He is, absolutely. We can't just say because God is sovereign and God is in control and God has saved us and God will sustain the church that we can just sit here and the church will grow. God has commanded us to go out and reach people for Him. We have the Great Commission. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so we have a responsibility to go out and reach our community and through missions to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can't just sit here and talk about it. You know, the old folks used to say the best way to pray for potatoes is at the end of a hoe handle, right? And so, if you want to see something happen, you've got to work at it. But in the end, it'll be God that does it. Amen? Number three, you can give God credit and take credit for your hard work without using false humility to sound ultra spiritual. Away with false humility. If you did something, yes, it was God. Say, praise God. He allowed me to do this. He gave me breath. He gave me strength. He put the thing together, but I worked hard. And if somebody says, we'd like to compliment you on your hard work, then say, thank you. Appreciate that. Let's do away with false humility and ultra spirituality. Paul said it best. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Both. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You for letting us be in Your house this morning. I do pray that You would bless us. I pray that You would help us to believe Your Word, to trust Your Word, whatever it says. I pray that You would help us to just go forward in faith. I pray You'd forgive me for where I haven't labored as You would have had me to labor. I pray You would forgive me for where I haven't witnessed when I should have, for when I haven't done what I should have. I pray You would help us all. We've been called by Your grace. We've been saved. I pray You would help us all to go out and win souls to You. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.